He looked at me evenly, meeting my gaze with his own. It only lasted a moment, but it was unmistakably a challenge, the sort of eye-fuck a defiant witness will flip you on the stand. Once he had outfaced me, his point made, he became a petulant kid again. "I can't believe you're asking me this stuff, Dad. It's like I get home from school and suddenly I get all these questions. I just can't believe this. I can't believe you actually think these things about me." "I don't think anything about you, Jacob. All I know is you brought that knife into my house, and I'd like to know why." "Who told you to look for it?"
"Never mind who told me."
"One of the kids at school, obviously. Someone you interviewed yesterday. Just tell me who."
"It doesn't matter who. This isn't about what other kids did. You're not the victim here."
"Andy," Lori warned. She had told me not to confront or cross-examine him, not to accuse. "Just talk to him, Andy. This is a family. We talk to each other."
I looked away. Deep breath.
"Jacob, if I submit that knife for testing, for blood or any other evidence, would you object?"
"No. Go ahead, do whatever tests you want. I don't care."
I considered for a moment. "Okay. I believe you. I believe you."
"Do I get my knife back?"
"Absolutely not."
"It's my knife. You have no right to take it."
"I'm your father. That gives me the right."
"You're also with the cops."
"Are you worried about the cops for some reason, Jake?"
"No."
"Then what are you talking about your rights for?"
"What if I don't let you take it?"
"Try." He stood there looking at the knife on the table and at me, weighing the risk and reward.
"This is so wrong," he said, and he frowned at the injustice.
"Jake, your father's just doing what he thinks is best because he loves you."
"What about what I think is best? That doesn't matter, I suppose."
"No," I said. "It doesn't." By the time I got to the Newton police station that same afternoon, they had Pats in the interview room, where he sat as still as an Easter Island head, staring into a camera that was hidden in the face of a schoolhouse clock. Pats knew the camera was there. The detectives were required to inform him and get his consent to record the interview. The camera was hidden away in the hope that suspects would stop thinking about it. Pats's image was piped to a small computer screen in the detective bureau, right outside the interview room, where a half-dozen Newton and CPAC detectives stood watching. So far, it had not been much of a show, apparently. The cops wore flat expressions, not seeing much, not expecting to see much. I came into the detective bureau and joined them.
"He say anything?"
"Nothing. He's Sergeant Schultz." On screen, Pats's image filled the frame. He sat at the head of a long wood table. Behind him was a bare white wall. Pats was a big man. According to his probation officer, he was 6'3" and 260 pounds. Even seated behind a table, he looked massive. But his body was soft. His sides, belly, and tits all sagged against his black polo shirt, as if he had been poured and bagged up inside this black sack cinched shut at the neck.